John Margiova, San Francisco. This is FieldPod.com, a week in Georgia in English, coming to you from our current studio in the outstanding central branch of the San Francisco Public Library. Sorry if things are a little echoey. I'm in an entirely glass room not designed for recording. Today is Thursday, the 29th of August, 2013. On this date in 1533, Francisco Pizarro orders the execution by strangulation of the last Inca emperor, Atahualpa. The Ottoman Turks in 1541 capture Buda, the capital of the Hungarian kingdom. In 1758, the first American Indian reservation is established at Indian Mills, New Jersey. 1831, Michael Faraday discovers electromagnetic induction, making the use of electricity possible. Something we're doing right now, by the way. 1911, Ishii, the last Native American to make contact with European Americans, emerges from the wilderness in northeastern California. 1945, in a little-known chapter from World War II history, President Truman orders the U.S. Navy to seize control of petroleum refineries to force a labor dispute resolution caused by workers angry that they were working brutal hours during the war, while at the same time the owners were receiving very high profits and the management were making very high salaries. Nothing compared to today, even adjusted for inflation, but you get the point. 1949, the Soviets detonate their first atomic bomb. 1958, the United States Air Force Academy opens in Colorado Springs, Colorado. 1962, Robert Frost leaves for a goodwill tour of the USSR. 1966, the Beatles perform their last concert before paying fans at Candlestick Park in San Francisco. 1991, the Supreme Soviet of the Soviet Union suspends all activities of the Soviet Communist Party. 2005, Hurricane Katrina slams into New Orleans and the Gulf Coast. Birthdays today are slave trade participant John Locke, Renaissance man Oliver Wendell Holmes Sr., Swedish smokestress Ingrid Bergman, director Richard Attenborough, Saxer Charlie Parker, and Yuckster Elliot Gould. Thanks again to those posting on our forum, or you can send us an email at tpeelpod@gmail.com. Just so you know, we've been putting up Tpeelpod posters at hostels. For any of you recent hostel stayers, send us an email at tpeelpod@gmail.com telling us whatever you want. Georgian Journal and Fides Politra are on holiday through August. On the 26th of August, a fight broke out between local residents and police in the village of Chela in Samska Javakheti's Adigeni region as locals tried to prevent authorities from removing a 24-meter-tall minaret from a mosque in the village. Several people were beaten up by the police and 9 were arrested. All of them were released the next day. Police left the village after the minaret was disassembled. Video footage from a local newspaper shows a truck loaded with 2 large pieces of the minaret driving out of the village, accompanied by about a dozen police vehicles. After the police left, dozens of local residents from the Muslim community arrived in Akhaltsikhe and continued protesting outside the regional police headquarters. The protesters tried to break into the police station, and several were arrested. The minaret, which had been purchased from Turkey, was assembled and attached to the mosque in Chela in July. But on the 20th of August, the Sacre Bulo in Adigeni made an official order that the minaret was constructed illegally without the permission of the local authorities. Later, it was discovered that the Revenue Service was behind the whole thing. On Monday, the 26th of August, the Revenue Service released a written statement saying that the minaret was removed for inspection to verify if the metal materials used in building it were properly declared when the cargo was imported on the 14th of July. The Revenue Service said it suspects the construction material was not correctly classified by the importer in order to pay less on import taxes. Here is a direct translation of what the Revenue Service said. Quote, because weight of the minaret's construction and its production code and its product code might possibly not match with declared data, it, the minaret, was disassembled on August 26 upon the decision of the Revenue Service. The Revenue Service is providing disassembling and then its restoration works, end quote. The statement reads, the Revenue Service requests local residents and all the stakeholders not to allow politicization of the case and to allow relevant agencies to carry out comprehensive and prompt product expertise. Okay, this is completely ridiculous, and it was obviously taken down because it was a minaret and not something else, because there are an incredible number of buildings that are built in Georgia every day, not to code, and being very casual about what they've declared the construction materials as. The question is, who other than the Revenue Service was involved in this, and who knew about this within the government? It's unlikely that the Revenue Service did this on its own, which means presumably the finance minister knew. And I think really, to me, what this says is, aside from poor judgment and a question about how open the current government is to the participation of other religions in Georgian life, also just how disorganized they are that something like this would go on. On the same day, the Georgian Muslim Union condemned the removal of the minaret and called on Bidzina to spare no efforts to defuse the tense situation. On the 28th of August, protesters primarily from the Muslim community met in Batumi to demand an immediate return of the minaret. Earlier the same day, the head of the government of Adjara, Archil Khebadze, a close ally of BI, met with Muslim clerics and worshippers at a mosque in Batumi. Jemal Paksadze, the mufti of the Georgian Muslims Directorate, said that Khabadze conveyed BI's message that, quote, the minaret will be returned back to the mosque, end quote, inshallah. Prior to this incident, there were no reports of conflict between the local Muslims and Christians in Chela. After the minaret was attached to the mosque in July, the local newspaper reported and quoted numerous local Christian residents that they had no problems with their Muslim neighbors and were not against the construction of the minaret. After the minaret was assembled, a local group based in Adigeni, chaired by Goderzi Kubalashvili, started a campaign demanding that it be removed. Kubalashvili, who chaired the Adigeni Sacrebulo in the early 2000s under Shevardnadze, was planning a protest rally in Adigeni, but later decided to cancel the rally to, quote, prevent provocations, end quote, and, quote, to give the authorities a reasonable time frame to resolve this issue, end quote. While signatures of citizens were reportedly collected to remove the minaret, locals in Chela told the newspaper that they were not aware who was behind the campaign and they were not joining it. Minister of Justice Tetsu Lukiani commented on the minaret's removal, saying that although the minaret was built illegally, removing it forcibly was completely unacceptable. Tsulukiani also said that, quote, sooner or later, Georgian society will have to discuss without any emotions, hysteria, or confrontation the following issue. Should there be minarets or not in our country, end quote. Tsulukiani, then tempering her words, said, quote, various European states resolved this issue at various times through various means. Some of them rejected minarets through referendum. Georgia should take a decision on its own through involvement of all the citizens of all of the confessions. It does not depend on minarets whether there will be or not a prayer in a mosque. Nothing hampers prayer in the Chela Mosque, and it is the most important issue at this stage. Well, yes and no. I mean, now all of a sudden mosques or minarets seem to be an issue brought forth by the majoritarian member of parliament from Batumi, who made a huge issue of the Batumi mosque during the campaign. I mean, by calling the minaret issue an issue, I think she is creating an issue out of it. On the 27th of August, the investigative services of the finance ministry arrested the head of the Adigeni region, Simon Parunashvili. He is accused of exceeding his authority. According to the investigation, Parunashvili violated procedures of tender granting by not giving a contract to the highest bidder in 2011. That's strange. I think that means the lowest bidder. The arrested governor may face up to a 3-year sentence. Later, Misha condemned this and called it a provocation. He linked the arrest of Parunashvili to the developments surrounding the minaret. Misha stated that Parunashvili was arrested after he refused, quote, to follow illegal orders to dismantle the minaret, end quote. On the 28th of August, the Patriarchate commented on the developments in the village of Chela. Archpriest Dato Sharashenidze assessed the demolition of the minaret as an attempt to spark religious strife. The Patriarch believes that the resolution of the problem should begin with a detailed investigation into the incident to reveal the culprit. Later, former Prime Minister Vano Metabashvili, who is currently in jail awaiting trial, much postponed, posted on Facebook about the minaret demolition, calling it alarming and insisting that the government apologize to the local Muslims. Yep, as we've been saying here on TVLPod.com, you know, this does not bode well. I mean, the government is just being ridiculous about this. Obviously, they ordered the dismantlement of this thing, which was completely unnecessary. It seems as if the village itself had little to do with it, and it was outside agitators, this jerk from Adigeni, who started this whole thing. But the way to deal with that is to shut them down pretty quick. And evidently, there's sufficient sympathy within the government that that's not happening, or they're not sufficiently organized or inclined to shut down sort of religious fundamentalist populist types like that. For the last few days, there have been reports that the police have stopped people in the streets and searched them. Whole lot of talk on Facebook about this. Some have been taken into the local police station for further questioning, and social networks people have started referring to these incidents as raids. People wrote their stories on forums and social networks about how police stopped them without explanation in order to search them. Some of the people wrote that the police didn't wear uniforms and that they only learned it was the police that was frisking them after they were taken to a police car or a police station. On the 26th of August, a few days after people started reporting these stories, the Ministry of Internal Affairs issued a statement which says that the measures were preventative and they apologized for the inconvenience. The day before, Member of Parliament Gibi Targamadze from the UNM held a press conference and presented videos that showed the police searching cars and people. He said that those events prove that the crime situation has gotten worse in the country and that the latest statistics from the Ministry of Internal Affairs are false. Georgi Margvelashvili, the Georgian Dream Coalition's candidate for president, responded and said that, quote, "The Interior Ministry's activity is proportional to the process. When crime is reduced, crime will get reduced because the ministry is working. This is logical, in my opinion." On the 23rd of August, a group of 11 civil society organizations proposed that Misha name Tamar Zhvanya as candidate to chair the Central Elections Commission. Zhvanya was executive director of ISFED before joining UNDP's Tbilisi office to manage their electoral assistance project. Zhvanya also served as an election consultant and observer in Bangladesh, Ukraine, and Kazakhstan. Later, Misha stated that he doesn't know who Tamar Zhvanya is, but should probably trust the NGO's proposal. Misha said that he had wanted to nominate Kacha Kokhoridze of Gaila, Nino Lomjaria of ISFED, and Eka Gigaori of TI Georgia as the three candidates. Actually, none of them are eligible because they haven't passed on the test. But anyway, last week, the prosecutor's office announced that it had launched an investigation into incidents of negligence and abuse of power. And because of this, former prison minister Khatuna Kalmakhelidze and former prison minister and education minister and defense minister Dima Shashkin and former prison minister Bacho Akhalaya would be summoned for questioning soon. Shashkin returned to Georgia from Munich and said he is ready to cooperate with the police and give comprehensive answers to all of their questions. But Shashkin has not yet been summoned to the prosecutor's office. On the 22nd of August, the Central Elections Commission turned down Nana Kakabadze's initiative group request to move the parliamentary elections from 2016 to 2014. The CEC responded that in order to move the election date forward, Parliament would need to be dissolved. She plans to file a lawsuit against the CEC and is well known for stunts like this. Why media reports stuff like this is not clear, but we here at TVLPod.com wanted our listeners to have a comprehensive listing of all the various machinations going on. The government extended its contract with Patton Boggs, an influential Washington lobbying and law firm, until the end of the year. The extension also includes new provisions, including hiring a media consultant, which will raise monthly payments from $90,000 to $110,000 U.S. dollars. In 2012, BI hired Patton Boggs personally for $160,000 U.S. dollars a month. Misha's administration has a 10-month contract worth $200,000. With consultant Gregory Maniatis of Ithaca Group, quote, as a government relations and communications consultant in the United States. Contract expires on October 31st, 2013. On the 25th of August, Russian President Vladimir Putin met with Abkhaz leader Alexander Ankvab in Bichvinta, a town in Abkhazia. Foreign Minister Maya Panjikidze condemned Putin's visit to Abkhazia and said that a protest note has been sent to Russia via the Swiss embassy. Following day, the EU delegation to Georgia released a statement that the EU does not consider these visits compatible with the principles of sovereignty and territorial integrity of states. Later, the Kremlin issued an apology and said that they were very, very sorry and will never do it again. Just kidding. Pata Davitaia, the leader of the political union European Democrats, accused the mayor of the Italian city of Saruch of meeting with the mayor of Gagra and signing an agreement about financial cooperation. Davitaia said that the Italian mayor, Salvatore Mahana, violated the terms of an agreement between Georgia and Italy regarding recognition of Georgia's territorial integrity. He called on the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to send an official note to Italy demanding an explanation. I'm sure Salvatore was not fully informed about what he was doing at the time, or didn't care very much. In an exclusive interview with Bloomberg, Bizina said that Georgia would join NATO and the EU within 3 to 4 years. Well, great. He noted that restoring relations with Russia was very important for Georgia's economic and political stability. He also confirmed that he was going to leave politics by the end of December. Bizina said, quote, "I think before the new year, I will leave and I will become an active member of society. I think our problem is not the government, it is our society. It's very inexperienced, it lacks political culture because the people have not managed their own country for very long. I will definitely try to raise the standard of our political culture," end quote. And then, on the 27th of August, Misha had an interview with Bloomberg in which he discussed Russia's influence on Georgia. He accused BI of favoring the Kremlin's interests as well as seeking Misha's arrest because of a personal request from Putin. Misha stated, quote, "The Russia deal was very clear. The Russians wanted me either killed or arrested. That's what Putin said many times publicly," end quote. Later, he commented on the interview saying that as long as he is alive and free, no post-Soviet leader will be back in an environment where they follow Russia's will without a word, end quote. He also said that it's beyond a doubt that BI took $2 billion from Russia during the election. Misha also strangely commented, quote, "Who will jail who? I'm not BI's zebra for him to catch and cage me or any other domestic animal. One thing is their wish, and the other is what the reality will be. The reality will be that the Georgian people will give everyone their place. As for me, history will judge me and not a zoo director," end quote. Yeah. On the 19th of August, the Interior Minister, Irakli Karabashvili, ordered that all convict records automatically be expunged as soon as prisoners are released. Karabashvili's initiative was a response to Misha's amnesty, which would have allowed convicts to expunge their records if they applied to his administration. Misha's plan would not have included criminals convicted of premeditated murder, sexual crimes against minors, trafficking, torture, and others. On the 21st of August, Misha's administration, in response to Khadivashvili's order, accused Georgian Dream of incompetence and populism. On the 28th of August, in commemoration of St. Mary's Day, or Mariamoba, 191 prisoners were released from prison. Of the pardoned prisoners, 35 were women and 156 were men. On the 26th of August, Gigi Kalandadze, a former joint chief of staff of the Georgian Armed Forces, who was found not guilty of torturing servicemen, filed a lawsuit against Defense Minister Irakli Alasania and Justice Minister Ted Tsiloukiani. He demanded that Alasania and Tsiloukiani publicly apologize for spreading misleading information during the investigation into his case. Kalandadze said, quote, "The main demand under the lawsuit is that Alasania and Tsiloukiani should offer public apologies as they, in every possible way, tried to exert pressure upon the court and disseminated groundless information saying I had allegedly pressed upon witnesses in the Samogrelo region and misappropriated 500,000 lari, which is about $300,000 U.S. dollars. I don't know, personally, me, Mark Mullen, I don't know the law, but it seems to me here that he's right. He certainly, I mean, his guilt was presumed in public statements by these two individuals. I don't know whether that means that the courts can or will coerce an apology, but there you have it. Democracy and Freedom Watch reported on the 25th of August that former MP and head of the Olympic Committee Gia Natsvilishvili was charged with misappropriating and embezzling 4 million lari from the state budget. Finance Ministry said that the founder of Artesi Limited and Avante Hospital Management Group, Zaza Kapanadze, who was also charged along with Natsvilishvili for money laundering. Investigators say Artesi Limited was refurbishing several properties in Tbilisi between 2009 and 2012 with state money, which they received via contracts with the Tbilisi Rehabilitation Fund. The ministry claims Natsvilishvili is an unofficial founder of the company and that the two artificially increased the cost of work for the government contracts with the assistance of Sergo Kavtaradze, the chair of the fund. A Tbilisi court set bail at 200,000 lari for Natsvilishvili and Kapanadze, despite Kapanadze being outside the country. Presidential candidate Nino Bourgenadze's party, Democratic Movement United Georgia, claims that hundreds of activists and members of the Georgian Dream Coalition are quitting BI's party and joining Bourgenadze's because they are disillusioned by the current government's policies. Representatives from BI's party said there were only a few cases of activists switching sides, and reports about mass outflow of members is a black PR trick used by competitors. On the 28th of August, Melor Vachnadze, a political activist who was released from prison under the nationwide amnesty, was arrested for hooliganism. He was arrested by Batumi police for insulting Misha. He was fined 100 lari and released. On the 27th of August, Misha issued a special decree according to which the presidential residence and the resort of Bobokvati will be used as a resort house for servicemen of the Ministry of Defense and also for families of deceased soldiers. Vano Mervashvili's court case was once again postponed, this time to the 1st of October. On the 27th of August, MP Kobodavatashvili said that he intends to submit legislation to decriminalize the use of light narcotics. According to Davutashvili, the first-time user should be fined 300 lari, the second-time user should be fined 600, and the third-time offense should be fined 1,500 lari or given a 15-day prison sentence. According to the Washington Business Journal, the Embassy of Georgia's U.S. building is up for sale. Delshan Capital LLC is looking for buyers for the embassy building at 2209 Massachusetts Avenue Northwest. The building is a historic 9,000-square-foot building built in 1911, which was previously home to the United Arab Emirates and the Ukrainian embassies. The Georgian embassy is locked into a lease through January 2016. The building is generating an annual net operating income of about $289,000. Due to increased attacks and robbery incidents, the Bank of Georgia has announced the establishment of a new security system that enables it to prevent crime attempts. On the 21st of August, late at night, an armed person robbed the Bank of Georgia service center on Kazbegi Street. The amount of money stolen has not been released. According to a survey funded by the Georgian Dream and conducted by the research center Siko Projekti, 53% of respondents supported Georgi Margvelashvili, 9% support UNM candidate Dr. Bakradze, 7% Nino Bourgenadze, leader of the Democratic Movement United Georgia, 4% Shalvanate Elashvili, 3% Salome Zurashvili, 2% Georgi Targamadze, 1% Nethkan Kirtadze, 7% of the respondents say they're not going to vote for anyone, 4% say it's hard to answer the question, and 10% refuse to answer the question. Personally, I've never heard of Research Center Psycho Projekti, but anyway, everybody loves numbers. According to Geostat, the volume of exports from Georgia to Russia has increased 2.7 times between January and July of 2013 compared to the same period last year. Between January and July 2013, exports from Georgia to Russia amounted to 63 billion lari compared to the 24 billion lari from the same period of the year before. According to the New York Post, in a month, Georgian painter Roman Kircheli's work, The Most Beautiful Woman in the World, will be for sale for approximately $1 million. The list of people who wish to purchase the painting include Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg, YouTube co-founder Chad Harley, and Georgia's own Prime Minister and art collector extraordinaire, Bidzina Ivanishvili. On the 24th of August, due to heavy rainfall, the Batumi Somerset Festival 2013 final concert was not held. Organizers stated that instead the closing ceremony of the festival will be held in September. While the Parliament is out on its August holiday for another week, we wanted to let you know about an upcoming legislative package that will be discussed in September related to charitable organizations. Georgian Dream Member of Parliament Ziad Panchantiradze and Giguli Magradze initiated the legislation. If passed, the law draft would include a set of tax exemptions to support philanthropic activities and remove requirements that such organizations submit an annual independent audit to the Revenue Service. Some of the details of the draft include making charitable organizations exempt from profit tax and VAT, allowing such organizations to grant money to individuals for charitable purposes without paying income tax, allowing in-kind donations from individuals, NGOs, and businesses with tax exemption, allowing individuals to pay 1% of their income taxes to an organization registered as a charitable organization without increasing their taxes. Several countries in Central and Eastern Europe have this 1% law, which is quite interesting. It's really I hope that they move slowly on this, but it's a great idea, and if they do it right, it could really change nonprofits in Georgia. For any listeners who are specifically interested in this, I know that there's some discussion about conversations among NGOs and civil society groups about this legislation. So if you want to be involved in that and are not sure you'll be on the list, send tpeelpod@gmail.com an email or post on our forum, and we'll be sure to put you in contact with them. The geocapital number this week is 15.7, which is the number of road deaths per 100,000 people, according to the WHO survey in 2010. Compared to its neighbors, Turkey is on the low end with 12 per 100,000. Azerbaijan is 13, Armenia 18. Russia has the highest in the region with 19 deaths per 100,000 people. According to the Partnership for Road Safety in 2012, 605 people were killed in traffic accidents, with an additional 7,734 people seriously injured and requiring hospital treatment. By their calculation, these fatalities and serious road injuries are a drain on the annual GDP of between 1.1 and 1.5%. It always cracks me up when they note things like that. You know, yeah, sure, you know, 8,000 people were injured and, you know, 600 were killed, but it also drained the GDP by, you know, 1.1 to 1.5%. Anyway, nothing wrong with GDP, but I'm just saying. The meme this week comes from photographer Amos Chappell, who visited Chiatura, a mining town crisscrossed by networks of aging Soviet-era aerial tramways that are still being used today. They are incredible photographs, and people have been looking at them and posting them all over Facebook all week. Be sure to check that out. We'll put it on the forum. Things to read: an article by Daniel McLaughlin entitled 5 Years On, Breakaway Region Finds Orientation Towards Moscow a Mixed Blessing, in the Irish Times. A researcher looking into the Teach and Learn in Georgia program describes an increase in the incidence of attacks on foreigners in Georgia, particularly attacks on women. Article in The Economist entitled Too Much Uncertainty, which argues that Georgia's economic slowdown is the result of sluggish global economy coupled with investor uncertainty. All of these things are going to be posted on the forum at tpeelpod.com. This week's English language movie at the Rooster Valley Movie Theater across from Parliament is on Saturday, the 31st of August, Percy Jackson's Sea of Monsters at 5 p.m. Tickets are 10 lari, 50 tetri. English language movie at the Amirani Theater this week is on Saturday, the 31st of August, at 5:15 p.m., The Moral Instruments, City of Bones. It's 10 lari and 50 tetri. On the 31st of August, the festival Rock Against Violence will be held in Mushkaidi Park in Tbilisi at 4 p.m. to protest against war, specifically the August 2008 war, Bakur Burduli, Zurgi, Landmark, Z for Zulu, loudspeakers, and other musicians will participate. Between the 12th and 15th of September, the village of Geveleti in Kazbegi, there will be a festival, the Azureti Open Air V2 Road to Mountains Festival. You'll be able to enjoy horseback riding, master classes on mountaineering, and Georgian and European cuisine. For more details, visit the Facebook page, facebook.com/chrono, that's chrono.events. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk. That's Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tfeelpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website at www.tfeelpod.com. And we'll finish with Jesse Fuller's 1963 hit, San Francisco Bay Blues.
San Francisco Bay Blues.
I got the blues from a baby living by the San Francisco Bay. She's taking the ocean liner and she's gone so far away. I didn't mean to treat her so bad, the best girl I ever had. She said goodbye, she'd like to make me cry. I want to lay down and die. I haven't got a nickel, ain't got a lousy dime. If she don't come back, I think I'm gonna lose my mind. If she ever come back to stay, spend another brand new day walking with my baby down by the San Francisco Bay. Down looking through my back door, wondering which way to go. Woman, I'm so crazy about, she don't want me no more. Think I'll take me a freight train, because I'm feeling blue. Right all the way to the end of the line, thinking only of you. Stay wild in another city, just about to go insane. Sound like I heard my baby, wish she used to call my name. If she ever come back to stay, I'm gonna spend another brand new day walking with my baby down by the San Francisco Bay.